This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Boy, this show had it all.
Oh, man.
This show had it all.
Good stuff.
J-Lo dating Jennifer Lopez, I wasn't prepared for.
Or Big Show.
Or Big Show, sorry. Jennifer Lopez dating Big Show. Wasn't prepared for that.
He sent me that. I said, no way, bro. He said, there's the picture.
Man, come on, Ace. Come on, Ace.
And one of the reasons why I said no way, I would have heard about that.
I wonder if Jennifer Lopez, first of all, Jennifer Lopez looks fantastic.
She does. She does.
So Ben Affleck just went and got back with Jennifer Garner? Is that what's happening?
That's the rumor.
He doesn't know what he wanted.
I saw the tweet.
I don't think any of them know what they want.
That's true.
Say that again, Jesse.
I saw a tweet yesterday. He's hopeful to get back with Jennifer Garner.
Jennifer Garner is the...
He's not with her now.
I don't think he's with her yet, yeah. But that's kind of his next play, I think.
And that's the lady that's on the Capital One commercials.
Yeah. Right?
Yes.
She was on 13 going on 30, right?
Yeah. What was the show she was on? It was fantastic.
I don't know. I just know 13.
Oh, it was really good. What's the Jennifer Garner show where she was like a...
Wasn't she on that movie, one of those movies with like all the famous actors? And it was like Scarlett Johansson. It was...
an ensemble cast.
Yeah. I feel like she was like a...
I mean, she's a...
Was it with...
What was her show, though? The show was... Alias. Thank you. Thank you. God damn it. Okay. That show was fantastic. Alias.
I know that was big time.
Alias was fire.
Yeah.
Alias was really good. Jennifer Garner's filmography. Wow, she was on 13 going on.
I think that's like her only one, right?
No,
I don't know. I'm not a Jennifer Garner stan.
No,
it's the only one I know.
She's got credentials, dog.
What other movies has she been
she's
in?
She's got credentials.
She was Daredevil is the only one I know.
It's funny. She was in Dude, Where's My Car? I remember her in that. I'm trying to figure out the ensemble movie. She was in Juno. I'm trying to figure out the ensemble movie that.
I guess maybe Casey's she wasn't talking in about. There.
She was in Draft Day for those that celebrate that movie.
Don't take back no matter what.
I don't know what movie you're talking about, Kenny.
Let me see if
I'm looking at her.
Maybe she wasn't in it.
You thinking
is it Valentine's
show?
Day? I think it's Valentine's Day.
Oh, Valentine's Day. Ashton Kutcher was in that.
Yeah,
that was an ensemble movie.
Yeah, they had a lot of.
Oh yeah, it sure was. Yeah, that's the okay.
Because I think, I don't know. If she was the. Nah, she was somebody else in that movie.
Yeah, like Donovan's right. She's more known for her Capital One commercials at this point.
Oh stop it. No, she is not.
Well,
she is not more known for her Capital One commercials.
Right now, if they didn't know who Jennifer Garner was, like wasn't sure.
But they wouldn't know that that's Jennifer Garner.
Wasn't sure. Like me, I'm kind of on the outskirts. Like I know she's an actress before she was that, right? But I'm kind of on the outskirts. If they were like, oh, Jennifer Garner, you know, the one that played in Alias. Like, you know, Valentine's Day. Nah. You know, the Capital One girl. Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
It's got a point.
I think that's how it would go down. Alias was a long time ago, too.
It was a long time ago. Yeah, it was.
But she's, I mean, that doesn't take away from her accolades. Like, she's been in hella movies and stuff.
Oso says we keep saying her name like there's a deal.
No,
there.
It's Jennifer Gardner. Pot. No one is saying Gardner.
Who
it's
said Gardner?
Jennifer Gardner. No one is. That's, stop putting it, stupid comments on the screen.
Stop
Come
it.
Come on, Oso. Sit down.
Come on, Oso.
I'm still laughing at Ben Affleck just bouncing back and forth between
That's
his exes.
Really what it
like,
is.
Well,
and they get remarried too. I feel like,
yeah,
him like Ben will go back, get married, they get divorced again.
Him and J Lo did marry, right?
I'm pretty sure they did.
And then
yeah,
they got divorced. And now, well, J Lo didn't work. Let me see if Jennifer, That's my other crazy. Jennifer, will take me back.
How about try the field, bro?
You know what
Maybe
you
he's an ass person. Like, we always look at the women like, yeah, what happened here? Like, maybe Ben sucks.
Well, Ben, have you seen that crazy ass tattoo he has on his back?
Yes.
You can't have that tattoo.
I thought that was fake.
No, it's real.
Oh,
man. I shouldn't even. I was.
You don't get
something.
That tattoo and be a normal guy.
I was going to say something. That's not fair. I shouldn't do that.
I'll dump it.
Why do you keep doing that?
Yeah, go ahead. I'll dump it.
You keep starting something and then stopping it and then, no, do it, do it, do it. What?
He does do that a lot, by the way.
Man!
Well,
it's like his new gimmick.
Because I'm thinking, and I'm about to say, and then I stop myself before saying it.
But you still say stuff.
If it's that bad, throw it in the group chat first.
Well,
it's not
crazy. It's just, it's a little unfair. I was going to say he is from Boston. He's a guy from Boston. Yeah, he probably.
I won't fight you on that.
He's probably not the most genuine guy.
No, yeah.
But that's not fair to Boston.
It's not, but Boston sucks, so there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, Boston is just a horrible place. Spring in James. First of all, James, this is a hell of a day. Second of all, you've got some explaining to do. Why don't you explain your little documentary that you did with your little big heart, small market gimmick here, where every time we turn around, there's some guy from the Sacramento Bee with a picture of the Robert Horry shot
that was
right
crazy.
Over his shoulder.
I was watching that during the show yesterday, James.
And that's the shoot. The documentary was playing during the show yesterday. I hope you got residuals for it.
I'm confused. Why were you guys watching Small Market Big Heart?
Why wouldn't we?
Well, you were on the show. Like, I'm confused. Like, how did this happen?
No, we just, like, having it on.
Yeah. But there was a conversation. I can't remember.
We were talking about Celtic City, and then somehow you tried dissing me, and I said, you guys go get a documentary. Right. And then you said, we had a Small Market Big Heart.
That's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. That's our version of Celtic City.
That's right.
And I said, I'm going to watch it right now, and turned it on.
I haven't watched it in years.
Okay. No. Years. Hold on. You're avoiding the question. Why?
Okay. So when we had Tony Bijak on.
Bijak.
Bijak. We went to the Sacramento Bee, and, you know, in the Sacramento Bee building, it used to be, well, it's not even there anymore. They sold that property now, I believe. It used to be that they had the printing press and you could hear it, like the hum. And it, like, wherever we kept moving and trying to find a room that would work, we kept getting kicked out of places. We ended up in a hallway, and that was the only place that we could, like, set up and actually shoot it. I don't know. It was a weird, I don't know.
Can I ask a question, like, real quick? Why did the Sac Bee have a picture of Robert Horry on the wall?
Goddamn question.
What the hell was that?
The Sacramento Bee.
Because somebody took that picture from the Bee. That's a Bee
so?
Photographer.
That's that not means. A good enough of an answer.
It's one of the worst moments in the history of this city.
Who thought to put that up?
What?
You didn't win a Pulitzer Prize for it, bitch. Move it.
I get it.
The Sacramento Bee putting up one of the worst moments in the city's history. Like, look, we took the picture, though.
Who are you, in Jason Jones's office?
No, we even at that point, we tried to move. We tried to move around. We were going to switch out that picture for something else. And the entire picture frame was screwed to the wall.
Come on, man.
Like, it was mounted to the wall. Not like you couldn't pick it up and move it. It was actually like we tried to do something different. And yeah,
James, it's like the clown out. Picture.
We literally joked about that yesterday.
It's the clown picture in Jim and Pam's new house. They couldn't get the clown picture off the wall.
And then they were trying to.
Stop it. You're pissing me off with that.
Don't piss you off.
This is ridiculous.
Is the picture still nailed there?
just small market. Big, when they sold the building, was it, hey, look, it comes with this great picture of Robert Horry destroying the city 20-some-odd years ago.
See, and James has to be the in-between with this situation. I need to talk to somebody at the Sacramento Bee because they need to answer for this. This is ridiculous. It makes no sense whatsoever. Why is that picture just framed? And hey, here in our offices at the Sacramento Bee.
It's ridiculous, James.
We'll go back and blur like the WWF.
I did that interview. Yeah, I'm the one who did that interview.
Oh, so you looked at the picture the entire time while talking to this
complicit.
Guy.
Complicit.
You're guess right. You're complicit in this, James.
Yeah, I did every interview in small market except for Greg Lucanville, which that was Blake Ellington, and that took like 3 hours in Greg's basement because Greg is different.
Obviously, we've talked about this before, but as it was playing, the footage of him up on the rap, I said, oh my
God. Oh, that's
gosh,
insane.
Bro.
Just absolutely.
Like, he was
insane.
Really like on the little
insane.
Pillar thing. I said, oh, hell no. Nah.
The best part about that is Greg Van Dusen, RIP. Greg passed away, I think, a year ago. Super, super nice man. We interview him for that segment. And while Greg is in the rafters, you know, we're interviewing Greg Van Dusen. So Greg Lucanville's in the rafters, Greg Van Dusen. And there's a point where they look up into the rafters, and I know Gary Gerald looks up, but then there's another point where Greg Van Dusen's talking. We pan to them cleaning the water up on the floor, and Greg Van Dusen, I swear, is wearing the same exact shirt like 20-something years
in the interview.
He's on the ground cleaning up with the cleanup crew, trying to get the mop up the water, and he's wearing like either the same shirt or really, really close in the interview. Yeah.
We did.
No,
I was just going to say, we did establish I was at that game.
Oh.
We did. Baby Casey was
Baby
at that
Casey
game.
Casey was there. I was about 3 or 4.
Courtside.
It's courtside.
Yeah, wow.
Courtside. Kenny.
Watch the video back. You see Casey, little, and then you little courtside Kenny.
Here's another fun fact about that. The lockout was going on, and the NBA wouldn't let us use any footage because they were in the lockout, and you can't use any likeness of players. They can't license it because they had locked the players out. So we got to about 2 weeks before the debut of the film at the Crest, and the lockout broke. The NBA called. They said, hey, the Kings have a 160-gig drive waiting for you, run over and grab it, and you can have the footage. So we went over and got the footage, and Tobin, our director, added all of the B-roll in like maybe 3 days, like didn't sleep at all, but he got all of the B-roll right before we put the film out, which was wild. He went through and inserted all of that stuff that we have that you're looking at.
Yeah. It's really good, though. I've seen it, I think, twice. I haven't seen it in a long time either. But you guys did a good job with that. It tells a great story. It's just like watching or seeing it, because obviously I couldn't listen to it. But, like, man, everybody looks so young. Mm-hmm. You know, Dave looks so young. Angelique Ashby's on there. She's, like, super young at that time. And just seeing that was what? Was about 15 years ago you made that?
I want to say we filmed it during the lockout. So the lockout was 2011. Yeah, it came out in January 2012. Mm. And we built that film on, I think, less than $10,000. Mm. And never made a dime off of it because that wasn't why we were doing it. But yeah, we won 5 awards at like 3 different film festivals, including best picture at the SAC Film Festival.
And that was the story before Seattle. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Like there was a thorough, like good, there's a lot that happened, all this other stuff, enough to make a documentary. And then that was before Seattle happened.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Yeah, this whole time you guys have had me on. I'm an award-winning film producer.
Well,
you guys
never on the resume. Mentioned it.
I think you're a turncoat. That's what I think.
Pull up. Once mentioned that, hey, we have award-winning film producer James Hamm on the show.
All right. You will be referred to moving forward as award-winning film producer Benedict Hamm.
That's right.
We're going to have to start calling him the James Hamm.
James said, no, no, no. Move over a little bit, little bit. There we go. There's footage of you on the internet going, okay, Lake Show. So I don't know. I don't know
it's
which
good point.
I don't know
it's
where.
Good point.
I don't know. It hit the internet yesterday, James. It's out there, man. It's out there. Award-winning producer and insider from the Insiders, James Hamm, with us here. Hammer, that's Malik right. Monk out tonight. Denver Nuggets, Sacramento Kings. Kings look to make it five straight. Got a couple of unique matchups ahead for them. You know, within the game. Let's start with Valanciunas. Valanciunas versus Nikola Jokic seems to present a different set of problems for Jokic than Domantas Sabonis would.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is one of the reasons why you go out and get a player like this. Like, historically, I haven't gone through and seen what their win-loss record is against each other or anything else. But to be honest with you, like, this is probably as good a matchup as you're going to get. And Sabonis usually plays Jokic really well as too. But there are times where Jokic just like shoots over the top of Sabonis. I don't think that's going to be the problem in this game. You worry a little bit about foul trouble with Valanciunas because, you know, your backup in this game and sort of over the next week or two is Trey Lyles and then, you know, maybe Scal. Maybe Isaac Jones, but I think it's a really good matchup for the Kings. And the one thing about Valanciunas is that he likes to, you know, get down low and go into the post and beat up on people. And Jokic doesn't really like that. Mm-hmm. You know, we even saw with Sabonis early in the season, Jokic just got out of the way. He's like, okay, I don't want to get beat up anymore. And, you know, we also, Joker is questionable for tonight. I don't know if he's playing or not. I haven't checked into it this afternoon, but you know, there's always a possibility he doesn't play, although that's highly unlikely because Michael Malone hates to lose to the Kings.
Yeah. Real quick, Jokic, 13 victories to Jonas Valanciunas' 8.
It's actually not bad.
Jonas 8-13. In numbers, you know, pretty solid from Jokic. Pretty solid from JV. 13 points per game, 9.4 rebounds, a block per game, 56% from the field. Numbers are there for Valanciunas.
Yeah. Yeah, I would assume it's going to be a really good battle, and that's what you're hoping that, you know, again, this could be a preview. You know, if the Kings can somehow get to 6 and Denver's a 3, if the Kings can get to 7 and Denver's the 2, this could be like a playoff preview. Getting a little bit ahead of ourselves here, but just like that's what the Kings are fighting for right now is that 6, 7, 8 spot, and you're trying to avoid 8 because the Thunder are a buzzsaw, and I don't think anyone wants that team.
Jokic and Aaron Gordon listed as questionable as of 45 minutes ago. Still listed as questionable, I should say.
There we go.
Is Peyton Watson and the rest of the guys still listed as questionable, or have they updated those?
Peyton Watson still listed as questionable. It looks like I don't think there's any changes. Yeah, no changes.
Yeah, like half their team is listed as questionable.
Other than Malik is out. Obviously, that's a change. Domas is out, which we knew. Mason Jones, the G League superstar, is on assignment, so he will not play tonight.
Go ahead, James. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Devin Carter also joined the Kings yesterday. He was recalled, and I believe he flew to Denver to join the squad.
Okay. All right. Well,
I'll take that.
There you go.
I'll take that.
I guess he looked nice on the bench.
Well, he might get out there. No Malik Monk. He might get out there.
Oh, that's a good. Yeah, I guess that's a good point. He might. He might.
James, when you talk about like JV going up against Jokic and that matchup right there, the one thing that I like, and you mentioned it as well, that I like about Valanciunas is he doesn't bail these guys out, whether it's a big man like Jokic, or if he gets a little guy on a switch, like he gets the ball. Oh, I've got the mismatch. yeah, we're in the paint. Like, we're going to work. You're going to battle with me. Do you think that, like, he shot the ball, I think, 16 times the other night. Do you think that was, like, kind of a one-off, or he can shoot the ball like that, being in that starting role, and get that many shot attempts? Because one of the – I bring that up because that's part of not letting these guys off the hook when they're on the switch. He gets that ball in the paint, and he puts it up. You think that's something that he's going to do on a regular basis?
Yeah, I would hope that he would shoot, you know, 12, 13 times a game, somewhere around what Sabonis shoots. 16 is a little extreme. And, you know, to be honest with you, in that game, there could have been a couple other shots that went to a guy like Keegan Murray or some of the other players. But, you know, I think what you get from him is just he's a starting center. I think he'd still be a starter in the league for, I don't know, maybe 14 or 15 teams.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you have him coming off the bench is huge. And again, the fact that you might be able to match up against a team like that in the playoffs with the depth that just other teams don't have is tremendous. I think that there's always going to, you know, he's like a true old school big man. You know, he's not going to do a lot of damage like on the perimeter. We talked about this the other day. You guys asked, you know, what do you lose with Valanciunas defensively? And I think the first thing I talked about was, you know, sort of helping on like traps and stuff like that, where Domas is so good at moving his feet and not fouling way out on the perimeter when you're throwing two people at a guard to get the ball out of his hands. But what I think we learned with Valanciunas too is he struggled a little bit with Kai Jones. Sort of that super fast rim run guy that Domas doesn't struggle with. Domas usually just plants those guys 3 feet under the basket and scores right over them. For whatever reason, like offensively, I think Valanciunas is okay, but defensively, you know, he had some major issues with Kai Jones, and that's part of the rotations as part of, you know, an overall defensive scheme and stuff like that. But Dallas is unique in the fact that they run a lot of actions with those types of players. And not everybody has, you know, a whole stable of them like they do. Even if half of them are injured right now, they still have a whole bunch of rim running, you know, centers that get up and down the court that hide in the dunker spot. And that's just not Valanciunas's like forte.
Hammer, what do you think about, you know, getting away from, you know, Valanciunas and the matchup tonight with Nikola Jokic? What do you think about the way Keegan Murray has played over this 4-game winning streak here for Sacramento?
Yeah, this is what everyone's been waiting for. Like, if he can turn it on here late in the season and really show up and be a big-time player for you, you know, that would just be tremendous for the Kings. I don't want to say he hasn't lived up to expectations this season, as much as I don't think he's been given the opportunity that he normally would. And as you lose players like Sabonis, as you lose players, you know, again, even like De'Aaron stepping off and being traded, even tonight, Malik Monk, like Keegan's role just needs to increase every single time. And I think they're starting to embrace Keegan as like a major offensive weapon. And if his teammates start to really do that focus on getting him the ball in good spots, then I think you're gonna see him continue this hot streak. He's been shooting over 40% from three for a while. He's raised his 3-point percentage all the way like over 34% for the season. And I just think that this is what you should have been doing with him the whole year. And, you know, it's never too late to start feeding him and featuring him. And I think it's one of the best things to come out of, you know, when you are a little dinged up or when things are getting a little crazy and some guys don't know the schemes or don't know what their role is, to have Keegan kind of step up and say, hey, I've been here for a couple of years. I know exactly what I'm supposed to do. And it takes pressure off of guys like Jake LaRavia, who hasn't, you know, offensively found his game yet, although he did have a good stretch at the very end of the last game. But it's good to have sort of that balancing player that can step up when other players aren't performing or can't, don't know the system or, you know, don't have the capabilities to be a big time scorer.
Yeah, Keegan has been fantastic the last week and a half, 2 weeks or so. Both sides of the floor. You know, he's been doing a great job on the defensive end. And I will say this is what is expected of Keegan Murray, you know, playing at this level, being able to shoot the ball at this clip when he has those wide open looks. And this is something that it feels like he can build off of as a basketball player and use it to catapult himself for the rest of this season and maybe in the next season. But the level of confidence and aggressiveness that he showed in this streak is something that's on him, and that's something that I want him to be able to repeat night in and night out. Just being aggressive, not being passive, going out there and making the action happen. And he's done a great job of it the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and I would say, too, as much as it's on Keegan to be aggressive and take these steps, it is also on his teammates to realize that this team is better when he's hitting three-point shots, when it's better when they're getting him involved in the offense. And I just feel like, you know, that gets left out. He's not the squeaky wheel, so that's always going to be a little bit of a problem, right? That people don't always look for him because he's not making a bunch of noise. But you're a better team when he's scoring and when he's a big part of what's happening. So over his last 25 games, Keegan shooting 39.5% from three and 48.3% from the field. You know, he's averaging 13.3 points per game, but he's still like that 10.5 shot attempts per game. That needs to increase. You know, he needs to take 12. He needs to take 13 shots every game. And I'm not saying he needs to take, you know, some ridiculous number of shots. You know, he doesn't need 16 or 18 shots per game. It would be great if he ever got to that point. But for me right now, like, go get him those extra three shots, because this is a player that people should fear, that the other team should be game planning for, and a player that can average, you know, 15 to 18 points per game if he was featured in the right way.
Is it him or the team that need to take that, give him the ball more approach, or get him the ball more?
I think it's both. Like, because, like, look, we all know Keegan doesn't bring the ball up, right? Mm-hmm. It's one thing. We saw it in the last game, right, where DeMar DeRozan just decided he was going to go be the point guard for like five or six possessions in a row and just started dribbling the ball up. And then he kept calling his own number. He kept, you know, he had the spin move 360 that he layup that unfortunately he missed, but was still cool. You know, that's not Keegan. He's not going to get that opportunity to go be the primary ball handler and to go score on his own. And if your teammates aren't getting you the ball, if your job is to run down, because we talked about this like a little, so a rim runner, the reason they call them rim runners is because when on the defense, when you get a rebound, you want a big man running straight at the other basket, because what that does is it draws the defense towards the middle and leaves the perimeter open for you to, number one, space the floor, but also for you to run down and then find those corner guys. The Kings don't do that. The Kings have their two wings shoot straight down to the corners for corner threes and space the floor that way. So it's just different. And if, you know, again, if Keegan were to make that rim run, there's opportunities where he would get just maybe one or two extra chances as, you know, like a racing down the court big man who can finish in transition. But their job is to go, you know, race down and stand in the corners to space the floor that way. If no one ever passes you the ball and your job is to stand in the corner and space, there's not a lot you can do. You know, you can't just, he has done a good job of going in, getting offensive rebounds and, you know, sort of making himself part of that and getting points that way. But overall, there's just, you know, maybe you could do a few more cuts. Maybe you can do a few more things off ball to get open. But I don't even think that that's really the case. There are times where he's passive and he doesn't shoot the ball when he gets the ball passed to him. But I don't remember that for like the last 2 or 3 months. That was a problem a lot early in the season. Now I haven't even seen that. So I don't know. It's tough. You know, I would like him to be more aggressive for sure, but I just don't know that there's an opportunity.
Real quick, 2 seconds. I mean, I think it's on him. a lot of the times, because there was a play on Monday that I think if they remember it, everybody's like, why aren't you doing this more? He gets a rebound, keeps the ball, goes coast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The coast at a certain pace sees, I think it's Omax in the and picking him up, you know, below the 3-point line, attacks him, bodies him, spin moves, finish at the rim. You can't tell me. I don't believe, I'll put it to you like this, Doug Christie and everybody else are saying don't do that. Like, no, they're not saying, yeah, Keegan, it worked that time, but you know you're not supposed to do that. I would venture they're probably saying, hey, thank you, do that more. Be aggressive. And that's why I say it is on him. Are there certain things within the offense that they can get him better looks? Absolutely. But I don't think anybody is telling Keegan Murray to tone it down and not shoot the ball, or if he has a lane, not attack. And that's where I want to see more plays like that, where he has an advantage. He surveys the field or surveys the court after getting that rebound and be aggressive. Take it to the cup. I think that's there for him a lot of the times.
Yeah, but how many plays per game are transition opportunities? And, you know, is there going to be like 8 as a team, 10 as a team? So there might be some more of those, but I would like to see him, you know, take the ball to the basket. I know exactly what you're talking about. Drop the shoulder into somebody, create that space. I'd like to see him do that off the dribble 2 or 3 times a game. But he's got to have the ball. And, you know, again, you got a lot of mouths to feed on this offense. And I agree, Keegan's not like chirping and asking for the ball all the time. Although we did have one or two possessions in that game where he did actually call for the ball. I'd like to see it more for sure, but I don't know that there's just, you know, unlimited opportunities for Keegan Murray to get a rebound and dribble it all the way up court and have a transition bucket. Even if you consider how many rebounds per game he averages, right around 6 or 7, even if he took all of the defensive rebounds that he gets and races up court, he might have 4 or 5 opportunities a game. And that means that all of those work out perfectly where you're able to lead a break and go to the basket. There's just not a ton of opportunities in that way. There needs to be more, but I think it is a combination of his teammates and him. I don't think it's just on him.
Kings and Nuggets tonight. We'll come back with more from award-winning producer, our insider from the insiders. It's James Hamm here with Dealing with KC on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. All right, back here with James Hamm.
Real quick, before we talk to my boy James Hamm a little bit more, you know, the Kings play tonight.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's Beam Money going down tonight, baby. Yep. Beam Money with Prize Picks. I got you covered, man. Let me just tell you real quick. Christian Braun, points, rebounds, and assists. Now, he killed the Kings last time they played. They got him at 24. I'm going to go last. He ain't doing that again. He's a good ball player, but he ain't doing that again. Points, Zach LaVine, 25.
I feel like we do this every game. Isn't it Christian Braun?
What I said, Braun? I said Braun.
Isn't it Braun?
I said Braun. Okay. I thought I said Braun. My bad.
I mean, it says Braun. It clearly says Braun. But the man's name is Braun.
You know, the way I know it's Braun is because it's not Braun. You know what I mean? Like, I made that mistake
a long time.
Zach LaVine, 25 points. Give me more. Russell Westbrook, 12.5 points. Give me more. He goes to work against the Kings. Trey Lyles, 5 rebounds. Give me more. And I guess I'll take it. This is a goblin here, not a demon. DeMar DeRozan, 0.5 3-pointer made. I went more.
So, Beam Money
will be posted on the socials so you guys can follow along if you want to. And if it's your first time, go ahead and put that promo code KIFM in when you download the app. And in the promo code section, put in KIFM to get $50. With your first $5 lineup, as promo code KIFM to get $50 with your first $5 lineup. You must be present in certain states. Go to prizepicks.com for more details. Prize Picks, run your game.
Okay, thank you. That's good. Get your stuff off. Oh, I see the double demon here. You can go DeMar DeRozan 1.5 threes or Demon.
Ooh.
2.5.
Ooh, they had.
See, I ain't doing this again though. I did this during the show. I got
liked
all
your
excited.
Idea. The,
oh, it was a great
yeah,
idea.
I liked it.
But I'll wait till KSFM when Kendrick Lamar is playing, and I'll get my picks right there.
Yeah.
I'll get my picks. James, Kings, Nuggets tonight. We've talked about Valanciunas and Nikola Jokic. We've talked about Keegan Murray. What about Malik Monk? Malik Monk is out for this game. I imagine we're going to get a steady dose of Keon Ellis, and perhaps we'll see quite a bit of Markelle Fultz out there on the floor. How big of an absence is Malik Monk for this one tonight?
I think it's big because the Kings are going to have to figure out a way to create their own energy. You know, that's something that Malik does. He just changes everything out on the floor. And I think we've seen some players. You know, Keon Ellis has an ability to do that, to really bring a bunch of energy. I think Jake LaRavia has an ability to bring a bunch of energy to a game. But they're going to need somebody to, like, sort of mix things up. And I don't think Malik has been asked to do that nearly as much as he has in the past since he joined the starting lineup. But it's still something that they need. They need that, like, electric take the ball to the basket, do a crazy dunk or a crazy pass. It gets everybody going. And I know they're playing on the road, but that also ignites your own bench. It, you know, gets everybody on the court excited. And you need somebody who's going to do that. And maybe Markelle Fultz is able to do that. He'll definitely have more opportunity as an offensive player. We've seen the last couple of games where he's just more of a facilitator when he's in the game. I think it should be interesting. How do you replace that player? And for whatever reason, it doesn't feel like this Kings team is nearly as reliant on like the specific players that are, whether it's Sabonis, whether it's, you know, what used to be De'Aaron Fox, you know, whether it's Malik Monk's energy. It doesn't feel like this team is as reliant on specific players being that. It feels like it's a little more balanced all of a sudden. And I don't know. We'll have to see how they show up and play. Either way, it doesn't feel good to not have Malik Monk. He's one of your better players. And, you know, even if he is having a little bit of a rough shooting stretch, he's still an electric player that brings a ton to the court.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think we see Devin Carter tonight? You know, I know maybe he's just brought up, you know, for bodies, but do you think Doug gives him a couple minutes here to see if he can provide some energy and provide a spark? I think it'd be a good opportunity to see what he has sometime in the second quarter and see if he can provide that type of energy.
I mean, maybe, but I think you're going to start with heavy minutes for you know, Keon Ellis, heavy minutes for Zach LaVine. Markel Fultz will get an opportunity to probably play 15 to 20 minutes tonight. And again, I don't know that you're going to rely on a player who hasn't been with the team a ton to do, you know, anything spectacular, to play more than like, you know, 5 or 10 minutes. And if he does well, maybe he get a little bit more. I could also see a situation where if you're in a close game that he doesn't play and you're going to just tighten the rotation. Again, they don't play again till Friday, so you do have a day off. It's a travel day. You won't have a bunch of practice or anything tomorrow, most likely. And so this would be an opportunity to, you know, just kind of play out this the end of this road trip and see if you can go 4-0 on the trip. And you're going to put your best foot forward to do that. And so I think the rotation might be a little bit tighter than what we normally would see, but we'll have to wait and see.
I think these off-ons are always tough. Like when the Kings play on the night, let's say you've got Dallas out there tonight against Milwaukee. I'm not sure, you know, how much you're scoreboard watching those guys anymore. Like the biggest one that I think you're watching really is Golden State. You got Minnesota out there. Those teams don't play tonight. So for Sacramento, Timberwolves do, well, they do, but they don't. They play the Hornets. So it's kind of the
man, every single night, some team the Kings are competing with play the stupid Hornets.
Every night.
Earlier in the year, it was the Wizards, and luckily we've gotten past that.
Yeah, well, now it's the Hornets. But it's like it becomes a thing of we just got to keep pace. You don't want to lose ground on the night that the other guys don't even play. Like, you just, like, it's just Warriors took care of business last night. You just got to find a way to keep pace with everybody else.
Yeah, when you're looking at this, the standings, like the Kings are the one team that's sitting at 28 losses, and everybody else keeps picking up more. Most of the other teams around them are up to 29 or 30 losses, and we're getting down to the point where you're going to be looking at the loss column as much as you are the win column. And so, sure, this is an opportunity. I mean, this is a even if they all play, this is still a pretty banged up Denver Nuggets team, and you go in there and you play really well, you never know what you're going to get. Damian, you guys brought it up, you know, I think it was on Monday. You know, Denver had that great streak where they won a bunch, what's 9 in a row or whatever, and they played nobody. Like, the best team they played in that streak is Orlando, and Orlando's now like 4 games under .500. Like, that was...
Yeah, they're hurting.
Yeah, so this is... I don't know if they're as good as that streak or they're... You know, they're better than their record or worse than their record, but certainly they've been able to string wins together. And you have a team that's really good offensively, not great defensively. I mean, they're okay defensively, but offensively, you know, they're a team that leads the league in 2-point field goal percentage. They also are third in 3-point field goal percentage. It's like highly effective, efficient offense. And you need to go out there and, you know, play a really good game, a clean game. Don't turn the ball over a bunch. Stay within yourself, play your offensive game, and get back on defense. You might have an opportunity here, but either way, this is it's a really talented Denver team, and there's no shame in the Kings losing this game if they do tonight. You would just hope that they'd be highly competitive and not lose by, you know, 20 or 15. You know, make it really close if you are going to lose, and if you can win it, that would be huge to extend your win streak to 5 games and to again jump up in the standings even more than you are right now.
James, let's go a little big picture real quick, because we were talking earlier about just the landscape of the Western Conference and where the Kings fit in that landscape. Do you think today that they are just as good as the Warriors, or are the Warriors on maybe another level than the Kings?
Yeah, I think Kyle did a really good job of like breaking the Western Conference into tiers earlier today. And his first tier, of course, is OKC by themselves. His second tier was Denver and the Lakers. His third tier was Memphis, which is kind of weird to have a tier with one team. But I get it, because they're not as good as the other two teams. But then they're better than the next group of teams. And that next group of teams, I think it's littered with a whole bunch of teams that you're just waiting to see how they finish and see who they are by the end of the year. And that, of course, is Houston. It's, Golden State, the Kings, Minnesota, the Clippers. And I think that's the group that the Kings are competing with, that group of five. And then there's, the other teams that are around that, the Suns, who are at the bottom of that, Dallas, who's just completely fallen apart. And that's a different tier. But I do think the Kings are in a tier right there with those five teams. Right now, Golden State is playing extremely well. But that doesn't mean anything. They could get to a rough part in their schedule, and all of a sudden they're not playing really well. Just like the Kings are going through a stretch right now that is relatively easy, up until this Denver game. But, you get San Antonio. That's kind of this 11 or 12 game stretch here where you had a bunch of winnable games, and Denver being probably the toughest game out of all of them. But still just not like the most elite of elite teams, a really good team. But yeah, I would say that the Warriors have, if I'm looking at that group of five teams, the Warriors have moved their way to the top of that, and the Rockets are slowly falling, and I don't know if they're going to get really in the mix with all these other teams. But it's very possible. Again, they're only three games up in the loss column over the Kings right now. And that's, they're a young team, and they're making some mistakes here and not knowing how to finish a season the right way. And that's what you expect from a young team.
Hammer, you call a cap on the Warriors' start to the season. There are two teams playing really, really well in recent weeks, both with, I think, 11-2 records, the Los Angeles Lakers and the Golden State Warriors. Do you buy this version of the Warriors? Do you buy the Lakers as a contender? Do you buy either one of those two teams as contenders?
I don't buy the Warriors as contenders. I buy them as a playoff team. Mm-hmm. I think they are a step above the play-in group. The Jimmy Butler transaction, I didn't know how that was going to work. And it's a little bit like the Zach LaVine transaction. It can work right now, but you want to really see what it looks like in its totality, like the 2-3 year window. What does it look like? Mm-hmm. Because there's more nuance to it than just, is he playing really well right now, and are you going to make the playoffs today? I think what he's done to pull, some of the coverage off of Steph and make life a little bit more simple and easy for Steph is something that maybe we overlooked when that trade was done. And yeah, they're playing really well. As for the Lakers and what they're doing right now, I don't know that I buy them as full-fledged contenders, but they sure are convincing a lot of people out there that they are like in a tier well above just a standard playoff team. And I want to see, again, how it all plays out. You are still banking on a guy in his 40s, in his 22nd season. You're banking on a guy who has a long history of injury and Luka, and then a team that just wasn't really well formed around them. But at the same time, they're playing really tough, and that combination of Luka and LeBron is devastating. And so they've got an opportunity, but if I were like, who's my favorite right now, I would still put I'd certainly OKC above them. And then I think they are really, really close to what Denver is, and two very, very good teams. But just I don't know if they're a true contender.
I don't agree with anything you just said. Absolutely nothing.
The one that we just don't we just got different opinions or different levels of faith in is Denver. I think Denver's a good team. I don't think they're a championship team this year. I just don't think they. have enough surrounding Murray, Gordon, and Jokic. And I think if they got into a series with the Lakers, maybe even OKC, I don't think they'd be able to win a series against those teams. Could be wrong, but just a thought I have with them.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have to wait and see. But the way that, you know, we talked about this a little bit on the Insiders earlier with Kyle and myself. Like, when you're, I think none of us were super convinced about the Kings when they barely beat New Orleans twice and they beat Dallas and it took overtime, right? What you're waiting for was this moment that we've seen over the last four games where they absolutely throttle a bad team and they choke, mm-hmm. you know, they end the game early and they make you feel like they build confidence because, you know, just go down the list of teams that they've beat over the last week. They didn't even make it close. I mean, like the Charlotte game, you won by 42. Mm-hmm. Like, but all of the other games were so incredibly convincing that even what did they beat Dallas by like 22 points or whatever. And it wasn't even remotely close to that. That was a 30 point blowout.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the reason I bring up this is because Denver did that in that 9-game win streak. You know, they had an easy schedule, but what they did to some of those teams was demoralizing. You know, when they had that one game where they outscored their opponent like 88-46 in points in the paint. I mean, that's just like such a dominating performance that the other team has no chance at all to even compete. And so that's where I kind of look at Denver as a team that, yeah, you know, we're not quite sure about their win and loss total, but you play the teams that are in front of you. You play the teams on the schedule, right? And I think that they showed you during that stretch, like the Kings have showed you during this stretch, that they're probably much better than we think they are. And they're growing. And, you know, I talked about this with you guys like maybe a week and a half ago. Like, all the advanced numbers told us that this Kings team was sinking. Like, and it was over like an 8-game stretch that they were in a lot of trouble. Their offensive rating, defensive rating, true shooting numbers, assist to turnover ratio, assist percentage, all of these things were tanking. They've turned all of that around over this stretch. And again, it's against subpar opponents. But like, what are we can only, you know, grade them on what they're doing right now. And what they're doing is they're manhandling teams. They're throwing teams around that aren't very good. So what does it look like when they play a good team? I don't know. We're going to have to wait and see. And you're going to get that opportunity because it's not, you know, they got the Spurs on Friday, but then the schedule just gets wild and they're going to play a whole bunch of good teams. And we'll know exactly who this team is in probably 2 weeks and whether they're going to hold up.
Well, and to that point though, I don't want to just say like we know for sure, but Denver started playing the good teams again, and they not on that level. Like, good teams are
500.
Yeah, 500 against those good teams. Yep, you're right. That's not championship vibes to me. Not championship vibes to me. But then again, Oklahoma City has 50 wins, and I'm like, whatever.
They're really good.
They got 11.
Are
losses.
They like crazy. They're good? There's no question that Oklahoma City is good. I think the game is a little bit different in the postseason, and I don't mean, oh, it's more physical. I don't mean that, though De'Aaron said it was, so I believe De'Aaron. It's more, are they going to be able to adjust, you know, against a Michael Malone and a Nikola Jokic on a night-to-night basis? Are they going to be able to adjust to a Steve Kerr and a Steph Curry on a night-to-night basis? Are they going to be able to adjust to LeBron James, Luka Doncic, and apparently a very good J.J. Redick head coach on a night-to-night basis? That, like, I'm not – I just want to see it. Like, that's all. I just need to see it. They're a good basketball team, but sometimes I watch them, and I think, man, Steph is a killer. LeBron is a killer. I think Luka's killer instinct is returning. And you say Shea is. I was a little more skeptical, but, like, okay, Shea's a killer. I don't know that they have the same – I just don't know that they have the same playoff – intensity that some of these other more experienced teams do, because every team I just named is a championship experienced team.
I think the difference with OKC is that they have a defensive rating of 106. They're so much better defensively than any other team in the league, and that stands out. And it's not it's not a defense like what we saw from Minnesota last year, that their defensive rating was like way high and they were crazy good defensively. No, I mean, their defense was predicated on Rudy Gobert that's going to get played off the court in the playoffs, right? And that's where I look at OKC, and every single one of their players is just a really good defensive player. Jalen Williams is, you know, probably like their sixth best defensive player, and he's near elite. You got Lu Dort. Shea's a great defender. Chet's a great defender. You got Caruso on that team. You know, everybody that they throw on the court can really, really defend. And so I get the idea that you're going to struggle with, you know, some of these great players, whether it's Steph or name that great offensive weapon. OKC has like seven different looks they can throw it at Steph. And not only that, you can't catch them in a switch because they don't care. Like, they have defenders everywhere. They're like, okay, go ahead and switch. We don't mind you switching. It's fine. Go ahead and set screens. You can hand off Steph to another guy and then another guy, and all of them bring something different, and they're physical and they're good defenders. So I get it. It's just, for me, it's one of those teams that, like, sort of like the Boston Celtics last year, they've built this team in a different way, and they've built it to be sustainable and to be a winning franchise. That doesn't mean that they're going to beat everybody and they're going to win the championship, but I certainly believe that they're like, they already took their leap last year. They took some lumps in the playoffs. They're a team that's ready to take that next step, at least in my book. And, you know, again, they have Alex Caruso like playing 20 minutes a night. They don't even need, like, what would he look like on the Kings? He'd be playing 30 something minutes a night. And he's, again, one of like eight or nine defensive players that they have that can defend the wing. They can defend on the perimeter. It's like a really well-built team.
They, you got to get stops to win games. Mm-hmm. You also got to score to win games. And that's my concern is, like, yeah, they can get the stops.
Is that true, though?
It's debatable.
Okay.
But they can get the stops. But even with being able to get the stops, Luka, LeBron, Steph, mm-hmm. like, it don't matter. They're getting 30 points a night. Mm-hmm. Like, one of your guys is getting 30. Where's the other 30 coming from? Mm-hmm. Or 15 from each, you know what I mean? Like, that was the thing last year. They were a great defensive team last year. And when it got down to it in those playoff series, Kyrie, Luka, even PJ Washington just gave them too many troubles in that. And they didn't have anywhere. SGA was great in this series against Dallas. They didn't have a number two. And that's much like Dame. I want to see if Jalen Williams can turn into that number two, or Chet, you know, after a year of experience, is able to do it now too, and see what they're able to do in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not just anointing them as the Western Conference champs. If I were putting a bet, I would say that they're the team that I believe will make it out of the Western Conference. You know, they're just really deep all the way across the board. I mean, on the season, they're holding their opponents to 43.6% from the field. That's just bonkers. They lead in 3-point defense and 2-point defense. Like, that is it's just a really, really well built team. And and not only that, but they're scoring. You know, they are a team that is a lot better offensively than I think we give them credit for. They're fourth in the league in points per night at 119.6 points. So They're a good all-around team. They're fifth in offensive rating. Like, this is a team that, you know, they use Shea as their big guy, but Jalen Williams averaging over 20 points a game. They just have a bunch of dudes that score. And
I had a bunch of numbers too, but I can't give them to you because Jesse said our show is over. So we'll see you here tomorrow beginning at 10 a.m. on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Bubbles Kings light the beam.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.